All right. Good morning. My name is Steven van der Vecht, and today I will tell you about an initiative we started 2 years ago in the Netherlands. And so the title of my talk is Fixing Healthcare Data Exchange with Decentralized FOSS. And basically, it's protecting your APIs with a decentralized trust layer. So the initiative is called NUTS, and NUTS is the Dutch word for utility services, but it's also fun in English. So basically, it is an open standard to enable a safe and correct exchange of healthcare data. And our goal, eventually, is to create a national and maybe international network of connected nodes to enable a frictionless healthcare data exchange with the patient in control. That last part is very important. By doing so, we hope to break down the silos of data silos, and enabling innovation again, because the data is very important for innovation to getting started. If you've got a great idea, but you don't have any data, it won't get off the ground. And by doing so, we hope to empower patients and caretakers back and put them back in control. So before I go any further, data, healthcare data can be a little bit abstract. So I think it's important to point out some things, like what's healthcare data exchange, why I think it's currently broken, and why should we fix it with decentralized software. So medical data is like lab results, can be things like electronic health record, very small things, but also very large imaging data, which can be many gigabytes. And the exchange takes place between hospitals, mental care institutions, general practitioners, home care, nurses, but also the patient. And what's important is that all those people use different systems. And it can be like a computer on wheels in a hospital, or phones, very old phones, company phones in an ambulance, for example, or just a plain desktop computers. And it's important to know that all these people need different tools. So if you build something like a data exchange network, you should take that into account. Well, this is the familiar picture in the decentralized internet room. We've got multiple systems, all their silos, healthcare, software vendors are making software for these parties for many decades now, and you can say that the process, internal processes are pretty much fixed. But exchanging data between those parties is a bit of a hassle. There are some things in place, but you might be surprised that this machine is still widely used today in the Netherlands to exchange healthcare data. It's the most simple way to put a document from A to B. Just call them up and say there will be a document arriving. But it doesn't work for big pictures, imaging, healthcare imaging data. So we've got another solution for that. It's the DVD. So let's say you've got a hospital that needs an image from another hospital. The patient lays there, you know there's information in the other hospital. What do you do? You burn it on DVD, call a cab, and the image data get transferred to the other side. So, and that's of course not the only way to exchange data. There are small kind of networks. For example, they don't work on mobile, or it's focused on the financial flow, or between vendors, or even regions. Netherlands is a small country. We can divide it even further in regions. And that's all. Good healthcare data exchange is difficult to do correctly. So what we usually do is we make a sloppy technical solution, and we put on some contracts and lawyers, and then it's all fixed. So, and if there is a standard, the standard is probably so vast and large that only people implement small parts of it, and if you put them together, they don't work. We should fix that. Well, the solution, of course, just slap another thing upon it. So we call it NUTS, and NUTS is a piece of software which you install actually at the hospitals and care organizations. And what it does, it's an extra layer underneath your current APIs. So it secures your APIs. We just use the standard internet and with a two-way TLS connection, and the NUTS nodes do the discovery and the securing of your APIs. And the good thing about it is we don't have anything to say about how to exchange like a blood measurement or an imaging data, because those APIs are most of the time are already in place. So to break it down even further, down we have the internet, on top we have the functionality and all those different systems with chat and medication and calendars and dossier information. Between those we have data standards already in place, and what we do is we lay a layer of trust. And what we need for that is some kind of authentication, some way of discovery and a chain of trust, and a consent layer, which is very important because not everyone, all the data can be transferred without a questioning of asking it to the a patient. And if everything has taken place, it's very important that you can see afterwards that it happened, so logging. Well, today I will focus on the first three blocks because the logging block is still in development. We've got a few important principles. So no medical data is flowing through the NurseVet itself. It goes over the already existing APIs. Everything is peer-to-peer. Everything is encrypted. And data is only exchanged with relevant parties. So instead of putting a central node in the center, which knows everything, we just exchange metadata over the NURSE node to hospitals which already have medical information about you. So, to recap, what is it? From the perspective of you as an API holder. So you've got you're a vendor having a system with like thousands of patients and you have to protect that data. Someone is knocking on your API and say, hey, can I have the data of patient X? Then you have to know a few things like, who's knocking? You want to know the identity of this person and who's it working for. And the other one have to know where to knock, even before it can knock, of course. So we need some kind of a registry or a discovery service. And then we should know, is the patient okay with this? So we need some kind of a distributed consent. So let's start with the decentralized identity. Very hot topic. I think we can make an all talk about this. But we use this service called IRMA. And IRMA is an initiative by the University of Nijmegen in the Netherlands, and it's based on IBM Identity Mixer. And it's basically an attribute-based self-sovereign identity. So what you can do is you can see it as a secure channel from a trusted registry, like your municipality or your the Chamber of Commerce, for example, to a verifier. And it's done through your phone. And what's also very handy is you can sign contracts with it. So it works a bit like this. You go to your trusted registry, you get your attributes, and you go to the verifier, and you can hand over any combination of attributes. So for NURSE, we make it very simple to initiate a certain transaction. Everything is just JSON calls. So this is practitioner login. You can provide a language version. You can say which legal entity it's from. You can scope it to a certain amount of time. So this is your session. The doctor sees this on the screen, on his phone, and it actually gives consent to the application to request a NURSE network in its own name. So it's machine and human readable. And those placeholders can be used. This is your actual session, and also a digital contract. So by putting the acting party in it, which is which is also in the two-way certificate name, we can only bound it to this session. This looks like a bit like this in the user interface. We've got a QR code coming up. You can scan it with an app, and then eventually you say, well, I will sign this contract because I agree with it, and then it's done, and you can go on. The app is protected by a password, so it's basically it's multi-factor authentication. So to the next subject, which is the patient consent. We've got a few variations in that. You can say explicitly, yes, I want you to transfer my data from that hospital to another caregiver, for example, but this also can also be derived from a process. So your doctor says, go to that medical lab and do some research and I'll get back the results, which is a sort of an implicit consent. All the consents are formed in a triple. It's the custodian of the data, the patient itself, and the party, the actor, who can request it. And then you can scope it and limit it in time to certain disease or medical or mental health care data, etc. So then again, it's also a simple JSON call to make it. As you can see here, the custodian, actor, and a subject are in place, and we can refer to a existing paper or digital basis to allow this exchange. So what will happen then? It's distributed about the involved parties, and we use a technology for that is called Corda. Corda is made by the banking sector. It's a sort of, they call it like blockchain, but it's not really like a public distributed blockchain chain. It's more like a private chain between parties, and in this case, the chain is only with those three, the triple, which I just called. It uses no trees for consent, so no energy waste. And it's a bit enterprisey, it's Java, but it does a job. So it comes in handy. So back to the third a component in the nuts node, and it's the registry. So where can I find endpoints? Let's say I want to have some healthcare data. Where do I go to? Or someone is knocking on your door, and the session is signed with a key. It does it comply with the public key registered in the registry. So it's decentralized, and that means that it's a sort of mesh network, which sends messages to each other. You can only add information, not delete it, because deletion in a distributed network is quite complicated, or maybe even impossible. And there's a chain of trust, because how do you enter such a distributed network? And so we put a foundation in place, and this foundation only has to serve. It does not have any power, because if the foundation misbehaves, the whole network just can choose another foundation or institution. And the only thing the NIST Foundation currently does is verifying if a software vendor is actually a software vendor making healthcare software. Because otherwise, well, you don't have anything to do in this network. Then the software vendors can have customers, and the customers can say, this is my software vendor, so they've got a mutual relation. And there is an employee which is actually working for a doctor, working for a care provider. And the last one is not actually in the register, because otherwise there would be personal data in it. But by signing the doctor's identity with the key for the care provider, and the care provider's key is in the registry, we know that there is a work-for relationship. So this is also, you can see it back in the certificate chain. All the way back from the root nuts node, which flows down to certain certificate authorities, all the way down to the TLS certificates, and on the other hand, it's the Corda chain of Corda tree, which is defined by how Corda works. Well, now we have all the components. How does it look like if you do a data retrieval request? So the sheet is actually completely on the screen. That's nice. So let's start with an actor, and the actor is a doctor, and we've got here two systems. Two information systems. The axis stands for hospital or other kinds of information system. And all those, both of the system have a nuts node in place. So the doctor wants to view some data of a patient, and it starts a session. The nuts node presents a QR code to the screen. The doctor signs it, signs the contract, and then we've got a digital identity. Then we can query if there is any consent given to this doctor. So is there anything to ask? Then we can look up the endpoints. This is all done locally. Then we can make the data request. So we put on the identity of the doctor in the header. We open a two-way TLS connection. We sign the identity with the private key of the first party. And then the other API receives it. It's just its own API. It queries its own nuts node if the identity is correct. Is the consent correct? And if all things work out, it sends back the data. So what's in the box if you download the nuts node? Well, you get a decentralized identity for free. you get a registry that with a chain of trust, a local development network. Just spin up some Docker nodes, and you can start playing around with it. We've got a demo user interface, consent distribution with the Corda in the things, and everything is event-driven, which is very important for a distributed system, because everything can go up and go down and all the way around. So we need events, and you can even rebuild your whole local state if that's necessary. And that's all because we want to focus on developer happiness. Many of these systems come, if you buy them most of the time, they come with a very thick piece of documentation. And the current most important infrastructure in the Netherlands comes with a documentation in Dutch. Yes. So I've heard stories about developers foreign developers, which threw the whole document through Google Translate in the hope that it still makes sense. So we'll get started, guys. Example code, everything containerized. So we try to make it as simple as possible. Yes, and I'm even going to try a demo with you guys. So let's see if this works. What can you demo from a distributed system? Well, I've got the demo UI, and this is two electronic health record systems, and we both have the Luke Meyer as a patient. And here we've have local observations, and we've got to go to external observations. But then I first need to provide my identity, and of course I scan my phone. Oh, and it works. Adrian, and then I can go to external observations. And here you see the external observations. And if I go to Luke over here, I can call it. Hello, Vosdem. And actually, I need to go to Luke again. Hello, Vosdem. So it works. Oh, it's nice. So the current status of a project. Well, we pissed some people off because, well, we're stealing their business. And it's always nice. And eventually they asked us for an advisory board for the Ministry of Public Health. So we've got actually something to say about decentralized infrastructure in the Netherlands. It's a very political field. Not quite my comfort zone, but still very interesting. There are four pre-production nodes now, testing, but not really production data. We hope to go live in like the summer. And we won a privacy award this week. So that's also nice. You can help. We've got everything is online, and we've got a Slack channel, and well, if you're interested in any way, just join us or send us a message. We would really like to hear from you. Maybe we can make this international effort. It's really, really nice. So that's what it is. Any questions?
Check audience microphone. Check audience microphone. Can you hear me loud and clear?
I have two questions. The first one, if the framework is generic enough to be used to exchange other data. And the second question is, in all the authentication handshake, I don't understand where the patient has stored his digital identity to give the consent. Because it seems that hospitals have the patient on record, and hospitals say, okay, I have the patient. So this gives automatically the consent, but there is no digital identity of the patient himself. That's what I understood.
Yeah, so the first question was, can it be used for anything other? Yes. Well, it's quite a generic setup. So it's not limited to healthcare data, but that's where I come from. And that's what we focused on now. But if you look at the code base, I don't think we're actually referring to patients or healthcare in there. So you can definitely use it for other things. But most of the examples are health related. Your second question, does the patient come in my demo? Well, in my demo, it doesn't. But technically, the patient is an equal party. So patient can spin up its own nodes or can, say, this is my personal healthcare environment, which is my node, and it can represent me in the network. So you get a copy of everything like the rest does. So you can cancel or create a new consent. And if it is not, if you're not willing to participate and you trust your doctors with it, then the proof of your consent can be or a digital one, which you can sign with the IRMA I just let you show, or it should be somehow a signed document or something which is with the original, the classic handwritten signature underneath it. And in the JSON blob I just showed you, you can see we can refer to actual scanned or archived documents in this. So it should always be, you can always see what was the basis for this data exchange.
So can the patient also request data by himself, so if he's interested in his own data?
Yes. It's basically giving yourself permission to access your own data.
Is this a typical develop for the Dutch situation, or does it apply also to, for example, a Belgian situation? And actually, I have four questions. You mentioned the second one. You mentioned you won a privacy award, but you didn't mention anything about the GDPR. Maybe you would like to talk more about technical things, but I wonder how that relates. The third thing I noticed, technical question, I noticed you use OIDs to identify actors. Why and how do you assign them? And the fourth one, you use NOTS for eventing. How do you handle persistence?
Okay, I'm thinking. What was your first question again?
Is this only Dutch, or would it apply to Germany, Belgium?
Let's start with that one. So it doesn't matter where you put it, right? It is just exposing of securing APIs. But the IRMA part, it's important that you have trusted registries exposing attributes. So if your country doesn't have it, probably it doesn't, then it's only limited to like a demonstration, and then you have to search for a way to expose those registries with something like IRMA, but you can also put another decentralized identity framework in place. It's not limited to IRMA, but it's what we work with.
GDPR?
GDPR. Well, the GDPR... There is consent, so that's the most important thing. Then we don't store anything on on public registries, so that's also, I think, important. The GDPR in the Netherlands, we've got two laws. We've got the GDPR, the Dutch version of it, and we've got how should you exchange data, healthcare data with each other. They start to make them more compliant with each other, which is also very interesting. Data stays at the source. So there's no central place which is doing things with your data already, So it stays at the hospital, which is currently stored, and it goes to the other place with consent from the patient. So it complies.
So it's not your problem.
Well, no. That's exactly what we're trying to do. We don't want to getting involved with personal healthcare data, only just by securing it.
And how do you assign the actor IDs? And the OIDs? Why do you use OIDs?
Well, you need to use something to identify a number or an object or something like that. And we saw with some parties use URLs, but they are not. They can change from owner, or sometimes they don't even resolve. So we use OIDs. So we requested our own OID for our own items we want to identify, and the rest, for example, hospitals in the Netherlands all have their own OID.
So you're registered basically at the hospital as a patient?
Oh, for the patient. The patient itself doesn't have a OID.
OID. I think I saw it in the JSON.
Yes, that's the OID for a citizen service number in the Netherlands. But we don't care what you put in those fields. You can use anything. You can use OIDs, but you can also use another identifier.
And how do you handle persistence if you use NOTS.io? NOTS.io you use for eventing?
How do you handle persistence.
Persistence.
I think we give the back end, but I don't know for sure how that works. I didn't build the NOTS part. All right. Thank you.